Last week, we began a series looking at the first letter of John. And as you notice, hopefully you notice in the program, that what I try to do is I try to bring what we see in the Bible, and I like to translate that over into how we see the world around us. Now, that is different than, I know some preachers will take the newspaper and say, this is what happens, and this is what it says in the Bible, and this is what it's happening here. Whereas I like to do it more in a sense of, I guess, a model I can use. You know how physics professors take their students to an amusement park to let them experience the different laws of physics? Well, I essentially do the same thing. I like to bring in some of the aspects that are going on in the world and show how those aspects existed back in the time that Jesus was walking on the earth. So we see this this radical difference and this radical similarity depending on how we look at it. And so that's important. So we can make a connection between the people who lived then and the people who live now as far as their connecting with their humanness, their understanding, and everything else. So this is not about looking at, for example, something in the book of Revelation and picking up the local newspaper and say, see, this is this happening. No, there are preachers that do that. I don't. But instead, this is saying, you see how people reacted here, and this is how we understand it here. And let's see that connection between them and between us. And that's the way I do it. So we are continuing in the first letter of John, and we're looking at the first chapter in the first letter of John. Now, we looked at the prologue in the first letter, and I like to stop the confusion. Whereas there's a prologue of the Gospel of John, and there's a prologue of the first letter of John. Two different prologues, very similar, by the way, but they're different. So I think I think I had to correct myself when I was talking about the prologue of the first letter of John, because I kept saying the prologue of John. Very easy mistake to do, but it's still a mistake. Just because it's an easy mistake to do doesn't mean it is the right mistake to do, because if it was the right mistake to do, it wouldn't, in fact, be a mistake. Okay, we got that down. All right, so now we're going to move into the fifth verse of the first letter of the first letter of John. So that's chapter 1, 1 John 1:5. Okay. And the reason why, by the way, I love the first letter of John is it's so basic and straightforward. And so we can read this and say, this is what he says, this is what he means. And we can read that very simply. So let's look at what's being said here. Now, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. Go back to that. From whom did they hear the message? Well, they heard the message from Christ. Who is Christ? Christ is the second person of the Trinity. He is God. So from whom do they hear this message? They heard this message from the second person of the Trinity, who is Jesus Christ, Son of God. He is God. As Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all God, not gods, are all God. So hearing straight from God, this is the message that they are proclaiming to you. And who are the you listed here? You are those who are reading the letter. What are we doing right now? We're reading the letter. Is that message to us? Yes, it is. There used to be a Catholic evangelist by the name of, I think it was Charlie Osborne, I think was his name. But I might be thinking of someone else. I think his name was Charlie Osborne. This is back in the 80s. And he said, I guess he got this from Bert Gezi. He said, the way to understand anything that's written in the Bible is when it says to you, take that to mean you personally. So go back. This is the message that we have heard from him, who? Jesus. From God, second person of the Trinity, and proclaim to whom? You. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There it is right there. That's important. So what does that mean, though? Well, first of all, we can take that to mean literally that God is light, but I'm sure there's something deeper there. So we want to look at what that exact phrase says. Now, the New American Bible Revised Edition says that this light that God is actually represents truth and goodness. Darkness here is error and depravity, it says. So let's go back another step there to kind of understand this. If we understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, so God is the truth, He is goodness. Remember what Jesus said, God alone is good. He was talking about the Father, but obviously when we're talking about God, we are also talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God is the source of all that is true because He is truth. God is the source of all that is good because He is good. He is goodness. So God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. What's that mean? No falsehood and no lack of goodness. Now, remember that analogy I've explained to you before about light and darkness. In truth, darkness is the absence of light. That is always the case. If you want darkness, then all you do is shut off the light, because darkness is the absence of light. There actually is no such thing as darkness, because darkness is the absence of light, just as a vacuum is the absence of air. We're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break. You're listening to the voice of St. Anthony Parish from Alston, Massachusetts, right here on WROL. Have you ever wanted to read the Bible but didn't know which readings to check out? Well, how about looking at the church's daily readings? You can find them at the website of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Just go to bible.usccb.org and click on the date that pops up on that page. There are other options on that page as well. That is bible.usccb.org, and click on the date and you will see the daily readings for your own prayer and study of the Bible. This is a prayerful tip from St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts. And don't forget our website, CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com, where you can check out our website. You can check out the archives of the show. You can sign up for our Substack newsletter. You can send us feedback. And don't forget, you can also connect to the parish. And there you can learn where to find the parish. Because not only do you have a standing invitation to our 10 o'clock a.m. Mass on Sundays, you can also come to our discussion about St. Thomas Aquinas, the St. Thomas Aquinas discussion group, which we have on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. So please feel free to consider that. So that's 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights, and 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings is your standing invitation, and then 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights. Of course, we have adoration, and I'm available in the confessional. So we're continuing this discussion here about the letter of John. So God is light, in Him there is no darkness. Now, what did I tell you was darkness is the absence of light, and we understand light as truth and goodness. It's actually a lot more than that, but we can understand light as truth and goodness, and we can also understand it within the concept of light. Now, a really powerful illustration of this is the divine mercy image, and I'll explain to you why. If you look at the divine mercy image, that this is Jesus coming forward to present His mercy, and that was the image that He's calling everyone to understand, that God is merciful. Look beyond Jesus. What is there? Nothing. It's darkness. Why? Because God is light. In Him there is no darkness. So this is this powerful image of light, and if you reject His mercy, where do you go? You go where there is no light, there is no goodness, there is nothing that is of God, because you've decided to walk around God's mercy and avoid it, and so you walk into darkness. Why? Because God is light. So that would be an image that kind of gives us almost a literal interpretation. But let's go further. God is light. See, we understand that God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Therefore, in Christ, we find God's wisdom. So we need to listen to Christ. We need to be in union with Christ to understand His wisdom. And that is a lot deeper than just following rules. That's why it's one of the things I am so hot on. I'm also hot on my latest book. I just finished my latest book. And that is to understand that it is more than just following rules. Always, always remember that. It is that relationship, because in that relationship, we experience what it is to understand the light of Christ. Go back. A great symbol of that relationship is what? That whole first line, or that whole line from the chapter, from verse 5, sorry. This is the message that we heard from him and proclaimed to you. Where do we get that message? We heard it from him. He communicated it to us. We didn't read it as a set of rules. He communicated it to us through our relationship with him. That's the message we are communicating, and it begins in that relationship, not in a set of rules. God is light. In him there is no darkness. That's the powerful relationship we understand. God is light. In him there is no darkness. So that light is truth. That light is wisdom. What happens, as I said, if we take that divine mercy image and go around it? Well, what else happens? You walk away from the light. That means you walk away from wisdom. You walk away from truth. You walk away from goodness. What is left? Well, whatever it is, it's not truth. It's not goodness. And it's not light. It's darkness. And so it is this complete loss of direction. Go back to that image I use all the time. It's using relative bearings. What is relative bearings? When you're in the military, they teach you, all in the Navy, they teach you. True bearings are those navigational points that are related to true north, the North Pole. Relative bearings are those navigation points that are related to the front of the ship. When we seek the truth, it's like we're trying to navigate by true north. When we're seeking our own truth, then we're trying to navigate through a compass point that is just based on the relative bearings of the ship. You can get lost in a bathtub doing that. So without that source of Christ, we can't find the truth, because he is the truth. We'll talk more tomorrow. Have a blessed day. You know, we have a website for our programs that will connect you to the parish, the blog, and to share your prayer requests with us. If you've been touched by our program, you can even show your support through your donation. We are at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's all one word, CatholicAudioMedia.com. It is updated regularly with blog posts and podcasts of the program. So stay connected with us and tell us how this show has touched your heart. CatholicAudioMedia.com. In Cristo vivimos.